Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
Oh my God, Rick, I have never been so happy to hear our music start up and hear my husband's voice.
I know, right? And I'm glad to see that I still have top billing. So in your face, Frazier.
Hey, well, that's just because I have not yet recorded a new one. But I'm telling you, when I do, and I'm thinking I'm going to use, I don't know, maybe that song that we played right at the top of the show. What do you think?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, listening to that, it reminded me of something I remember hearing back when I was like a junior in high school in 1991. I just wanted to get up and start doing the Running Man to it.
Put your parachute pants on. No, that would have been the 80s, right? Parachute pants?
That would. You know what? I had a pair of parachute pants, and they looked fantastic on me when I was like 10 years old.
I bet they were phenomenal. I bet. Did you have a mullet, too?
We're not talking about that.
You did!
I had a baby mullet, yeah.
A baby mullet? So you were like the world's only six-month-old with a mullet?
No. Like a baby mullet, which was like the Jerry Seinfeld-type mullet. You remember he had sort of a mullet?
Oh, yeah, like yeah. You know,
exactly. So, oh. Yeah, I had a little bit of that going on for me. I was like a total metalhead back in the day. That was back when, you know, I was Gen X and totally cool.
So you were
just an old man.
That's right. So you were business in the front and party in the back.
Just a little bit.
Do you have pictures that you can send me, please?
I'll see what I can find. And actually, I think in one of them, I'm wearing like a cardigan too. So
Oh my God, a cardigan. Is it Argyle?
No. I was styling back in the early 90s.
Oh, and did you wear socks with your shoes?
No, actually I didn't. And I wore them tight rolled as well, so.
What's that?
Tight rolled? You remember tight rolled? You would like take one side and then pull it over and then fold it up.
With your socks?
No. Well, you could wear socks. You didn't have to wear socks. You know, the tight rolled could go either way. But I have a feeling this is boring the hell out of our listeners right now.
I'm sorry. I'm a little bit older than you. So, you know, by mid 90s, I was a mom and was starting to, you know, I had mom jeans.
You had mom jeans. Oh, I love the mom jeans, just making fun of them. So, Karen, what's going on? How you doing?
Oh, good. So we have a good show tonight. We're going to be talking with Britt Griffith from Taps Family and Ghost Hunters.
Yes, another Taps person. Yay. No, yes. Just joking.
Just
joking,
oh
if you're listening.
Totally kidding. Didn't mean it.
Just joking, Britt. I love the show. I really do.
I don't think we've talked to a Taps member yet, have we?
Well, it wasn't Beria, kind of like a Taps.
No.
By extension or whatever? Oh, okay.
No, and you know, with Barry, I just kind of sat back and chilled to that accent last week. It was great.
Yeah, you know, listening to him, I got to be honest with you. He's somebody that I could learn from, you know?
Yeah. He seemed pretty on the ball, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, somebody just sent me a message, and instead of paying attention to what I'm doing on the radio, I was trying to read the message. I've got to learn that, you know, in my mid-40s, my multitasking days are pretty much behind me.
Well, I'm a guy.
Yeah, I know.
So I can't multitask. I mean, it's just not possible.
I know it. So, and then later in the show, Michael, the Ghost Gadget guy, is going to be joining us, and I'm not sure what he's talking about, but hey, Cheryl, what's Michael talking about? Do we know?
We do know. He is talking about, oh my gosh, what is he? I knew a second ago. Ah, static electricity. I got it. Static electricity and devices to sense it. Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. So that would be things like balloons and socks.
Sure.
Rubber gloves, that type of thing. Is that where he's going to go with that, or do you think he'll be more high tech than that?
I think he's going to be just a little bit more high tech.
Oh, I don't know. I like the balloon thing.
Yeah.
There's like that episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but I'm sure some of our listeners have. It's called Balloonenstein, where it's like this gigantic balloon, and every time you shoot electricity at it, the static electricity makes it grow bigger and bigger and bigger. It's one of the most hysterical episodes of all time.
I don't think I know that. I remember some static machine that used to make people's hair stand up on it.
Oh, yeah.
Like a big ball that you put your hand on and that makes your hair stand up. I know.
I love talking to Michael because every time I talk to him, I think it's like, you know, even though I have a Chicago accent, I'm glad that it's not quite that heavy.
You know, he's in the chat room right now. You've probably hurt his feelings and he won't be coming on.
I'm just joking.
Hey, Rick, will you please quit alienating our guests?
Michael's not really a guest. He's more, oh, sorry, Michael. He's more part of the team. Yes, he's a team member. And, you know, since, oh my God, Rick, you know what I saw in the news today?
What'd you see?
This is so exciting. You're going to be thrilled. Okay. They have hired an eight-year-old girl to play the baby in the next Twilight movie.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know, and she has clean hair.
You know, here's the funny thing. Jamie and I, we were at the doctor's office the other day, and we were talking to the nurse, and we were there to get an ultrasound done, and all of a sudden, the nurse launches into this big thing about Twilight and asking Jamie if she reads Twilight, and my wife's a little bit more sophisticated than that, a lot more, actually, and telling us about how Edward and What's-Her-Lips, they get, you know, married and have a kid, and the kid is, like, growing so big and, you know, breaks her ribs and all that, and Jamie and I are just looking at each other like, we don't care.
You didn't say that, though, right? Because, you know, your appointment could have sadly gone awry.
No, we didn't say that. But, you know, Jimmy and I were pretty well in tune. So it's like we knew what each other was thinking. Like, I don't care what, you know, that greasy haired person and his girlfriend are doing.
You know, if Robert Pattinson ever agrees to come on Paranormal Underground, what are you going to do then?
I'll probably still insult him the way I insulted Brit and Mike tonight.
All right, well, Cheryl, I think you should get on that then. Get him on the show.
I'm making a few calls tomorrow, Karen.
And also, the chick, the kind of emo looking gal that plays the lead, the girl vampire. I clearly know my Twilight.
What's her name?
Kristen Stewart.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's get her on too. Or is she hot, Rick?
Is she no?
No, she's not. Is she paranormal hot?
No.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So I met some guy this weekend. We NWPIA had a big barbecue and gathering up at Wellington that had teams from all around the Northwest, and so it was a lot of fun. But I met this guy who was totally into Donna LaCroix. And so he was saying, oh, she's just hot. And if you've ever, you know, and of course I've talked to Donna a little bit and, but I don't know her really well. And I said to him, I said, so is she hot or paranormal hot? And the look he gave me, do people not understand the reference? Is that just a reference on this radio show?
No, I think it's only probably the 10 people who actually listen to us that get that kind of reference.
I think that there's more than 10. I think there's like maybe 12.
Maybe 12?
We have at least 12 in the chat room. Maybe like 20.
Yeah, but they may not be they may not actually be listening. They may just be there to hang out.
That's true. No, they're listening.
This is the I Hate Rick and Karen Club in here.
Well, you know, sign me up because I don't like you that much, Rick, and I'm pretty sure you should sign up because you don't like me that much. So it'll all be good, right?
It's all good.
So, hey, I blogged today about drama in the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't get it. There's just so much drama that goes on all the time. Mm-hmm. And the people that we've been meeting, because we've been doing a lot of networking lately, which has been terrific. I have absolutely loved it. And the people that we've been meeting seem very normal and undramatic. So what's with all this drama, do you think?
You know, I really don't know. This last week I talked to a former member of McHenry County Paranormal Research Group. And, you know, there was a little bit of drama in our group, and I absolutely refuse to become involved in that. It's like I joined this group because it's a big group and it's got mad credibility, and I don't want to have anything to do with that kind of drama. I just want to see the integrity of paranormal research maintained, and we can't really maintain it right now because it's so faddish and there's so many people getting involved and there's so many I hate this person and I hate that person. It's just a gigantic waste of time.
Well, I have no problem with a lot of people being involved. I think that the more people you have involved in something, the more ideas and creative energy that you have. I have a problem is when the people are there for reasons, you know, whether they're attention whores or whether they think that they're going to get their own TV show. Because, of course, as you know, every single paranormal investigator ultimately winds up with their own television show.
Really? Then how come I don't have one yet?
Well,
how come you don't have one
show
yet?
Maybe I do.
Maybe you do.
I'm on TV right now.
No, I'm not trying to, like, you know, slam paranormal investigators and you know ghost hunters and all that. I'm not trying to slam that at all, because when we do come together, then you know there are a million different theories out there. Unfortunately, though, you got the one side which is completely scientific, then you got the one side that's metaphysical, and sometimes the twain will never meet, and then that causes drama. And, you know, you got people saying, well, you know, you're a fake medium and you don't know what you're talking about according to science. So it just, there's just a lot of drama.
That's right. But I'm a peacemaker, Rick.
Yeah, so am I.
I am here to bring everyone together. That's it. You and I are going to be the little paranormal radio show that could.
Yes.
Hey, what do you think? And then Paranormal Underground could be the little paranormal magazine that could.
it's the paranormal magazine that tries like hell.
And the paranormal radio show that's full of creamy paranormal goodness that you can eat with a spoon.
I need a bib. Especially tonight having Brit on. That's pretty awesome. I'd like to know how we swung that.
I had nothing to do with it, although he probably heard of you and I and thought, oh my God, that Karen and that Rick are so freaking awesome. I want to be on that show. That's my guess.
Well, I don't know. I thought maybe it's because I, you know, have slammed Taps so many times that, you know, I'm surprised that anybody from Taps would even care to come on the show.
Oh, Rick, if you're listening, I'll make him be good. I've got a long distance taser, even though he's in Illinois and I'm in Washington. I got a long distance taser, and if you hear Rick go whoop, that's just me tasing him because he's, you know. It's all good. Hey, speaking of Brit, let's go to break. Mm-hmm. Let's come back and talk to him.
Okay, great. Awesome. Can't wait.
All right, be right back.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at paranormalunderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit paranormalunderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Thank you. and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Z-Talk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Station identification.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
Well, we're back, and you know, Rick, we have gotten so predictable when we're in these commercials. Every time Cheryl says phenomena, what do? Phenomena. Phenomena. When my book ad comes on, we say, buy my book. And when Chad comes on, Rick says, do. So, we need new ads. I think that's it. So, hey, we're back and we've got Britt Griffith with us. And Rick is going to talk to Britt about how much he thinks TAP sucks. Right, Rick?
No. I don't think TAP sucks. I mean, no, to be perfectly honest with you, I think TAP's
I'm not going to say that,
but what I will say is that they have done a lot to further the paranormal.
Very good.
I think that that's great.
Very good. Welcome, Britt.
Hey, welcome. Hey, why am I welcoming you? Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. What were you going to say?
Welcome to the show.
I just got to say TV Land is a double-edged sword.
It really is. And I think it's a double-edged sword for people on it. I think it's a double-edged sword for people who watch it. And I think it's a double-edged sword for anything that becomes the topic of a reality television series. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I don't know you two guys at all, except for just what I've seen today on the website. How long have you two guys been investigating Organized?
I actually have been writing about it for a few years. I've been really interested in it since my early 20s, and you know, I'm kind of old. And but I actually just started investigating very recently when I started following groups around and asking questions so I could write articles about it. But Rick's been in it a long time.
Yeah, actually, I've been involved with the research area of the paranormal for about 28 years, since I was about 8 years old. 28 years.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Well, I was in parachute pants.
You since parachute pants?
Hey, I'm old enough to know what parachute pants are.
Very good.
I owned a couple of pair.
So how long you been doing it?
I've been doing it organized since 2003, so since before the show came on. And and this is the double-edged sword of the show. I remember the days before the show was on the air when we as a team would be sitting at a Starbucks trying to figure out how are we going to get our next case, how do we get into this building, hey, this business over here is supposedly haunted. You know, and you go up and you talk to them, and they laugh at you, and they think you're crazy. I remember those days.
Yeah.
And then Ghost Hunters came on the air, October of 2004. And, you know, after that first season, you know, all of a sudden we weren't so crazy. People would talk to us. All of a sudden we started getting people who were having issues in their home, but they were afraid to say stuff to people because then their friends circle would think they're crazy. But all of a sudden, this little show called Ghost Hunters, they had a place they could go, which was the TAP's website, and they could get questions answered. And that's the good side of the show. You know, and then our team, which at the time was Pacific Paranormal Investigations, we weren't that TAPS family member. We weren't on that page on the TAPS site, and we still were struggling for cases. And as soon as I was able to, we petitioned and then secured the TAPS family status, whatever you want to call it, and our group, Pacific Paranormal Investigations, got on that page. Holy crap! Did the caseloads come in? Yeah. Have you ever heard of the saying "Careful what you wish for"? All of a sudden, we had 60 cases stacked up in a matter of a month.
Wow.
And we were like that. And then we started farming them out to our buddies in the area that were part of the group. So the positive side of that show, to the show Ghost Hunters, Ghost Hunters International, and even to a lesser extent, but, you know, all the knockoffs now, the Ghost Labs and the Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventurers, and, you know, insert name, whatever it is it allows people who are having issues in their house, whether they're debunkable or legitimate, but having issues in their house, it gives them a venue or a location to go to get help. And that...
Right.
Is what these shows have done. They have put paranormal investigators and investigating on the map so that people, if they're having legitimate issues, they can go to someone that they know is not going to laugh at them and is actually going to try and help them.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, back in the day when I was interested in the paranormal, because I lived in a haunted apartment, it was a big secret. It was something that you actually kind of kept hidden. You didn't tell people about it. And to tell you the truth, I started writing for the magazine, I think it's been 2 years maybe now, and I didn't tell my family that I was doing it initially, because it's just something, even then, it was still something, and my family still thinks I'm nuts, but, you know, at least they have sort of, they have to accept it when, you know, like articles come out in the local newspaper about me and stuff, you know.
Right. Well, and I subscribe to the theory that we are all nuts. Some of us just handle it better than others. So.
I think everybody's crazy, too. I tell my son all the time. I have a 14-year-old. And I tell him all the time, honey, you know, especially women, we're all crazy.
Yeah,
I'm definitely medicated.
There's nothing wrong with being nuts. Medicated. And there's nothing wrong with being crazy as long as you're, you know, paying your bills and, you know, providing for your family. We can all be as crazy as we want. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
You're right.
I said, I'm with you. Go ahead.
Well, honestly, I was just going to roll into the downside to the show is that every time Dick and Harry think they can do it after watching two episodes of Ghost Hunters.
See, hold on a second, Karen. Karen, you know what, Britt? Dude, I could not agree with you more. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That is absolutely...
the man crush begins, Rick.
No, because if you remember correctly, we were talking about, you know, this with Barry last week.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I said to Barry is that, yeah, you think that, you know, okay, you get a library card, you take a book out because you watch a television show. All of a sudden you're out there, you know, investigating a haunted house, but you don't know without, you know, a little research time under your belt, what in the hell you are really investigating. You just don't know. You could be investigating some innocent, cutesy little 10-year-old girl ghost, or you could be investigating this. I'm not a Christian, Brit. I'm a Buddhist. So, but you could be going after some kind of, you know, evil, inhuman entity that's just going to, you know, rip apart your heart and soul. You don't know.
Right.
Or you could be investigating bumps and lumps made by the refrigerator, or you could be being dragged straight to hell.
And the bigger portion of this, or the bigger picture of this, is for a local paranormal group. Not the shows are completely different; they don't hold to this formula. But a local paranormal group should be able to debunk what's going on 95% of the time.
Yes.
So. You know, and there's a lot of people who get into this because they want the notoriety or they just want the fun. I call it drive-by ghost hunting. They're just there for the fun. They come in, they do their thing, and then they're gone, and the client never hears from them again. And you leave them hanging. You know, and, I mean, I have literally stood in the driveway of clients' houses, and they've looked me dead in the eyes and said, depending on what I tell them, is whether they sell their house or not. So what I or you, what we do as a hobby...
Yes.
They're going to make a major life financial decision on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, well, so for me, my haunted apartment, I moved immediately. Yeah.
But what if you own the house? I mean, but that's why I have $50,000 worth of equipment in my garage that we drag out the cases on the local home team.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We take it very serious. Because what I'm going to tell these people, after we go in and do our thing 2, 3, or 4 times, we just don't go in once. I mean, unless we meet Satan in that first time, but that never happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, depending on we got to be able to give them the best answer we can and do our due diligence to be as honest and as thorough as possible.
Well, see, Britt, it's like when I talk to a lot of people, I tell them, you know, when they joke around and like, oh, well, Rick's a ghost hunter. It's like, no, I'm not a ghost hunter. I'm a paranormal researcher. And to me, and I don't know if it is to you, there's a vast difference.
Oh,
I mean, a ghost hunter goes out there for thrills.
I wish they would. I hate the name of the show. I mean, it's a cool, catchy name. I get why Hollywood uses it. I get all that. But you're right. It's so not what we do in an organized fashion on all these local groups.
Right.
Right. Well,
we're not hunting them. We're trying to understand them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a huge divide between what you see on television and what you do when you investigate. And that's part of the problem with people, like you were saying, people watching a show and thinking they now know how to investigate. They get their K2 meter, and they have no idea what the purpose of any kind of an EMF detector is. And they go in and they wave it around, and they think if it lights up, that means there's a ghost there. Well,
right.
Not so much.
Oh, I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't tell how many times I've watched that event, people moving their EMF K2s particularly around, like, real frantically, and they think they're talking to the spirit. It's like, no, you're not.
Yeah. With their cell phones turned on, and yeah.
Well, you know what I always think that... Oh, sorry, Brick, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to babble. You go ahead.
Oh, no, it's No, well, I mean, you're the guest on our show, dude. But no, it's always like I think of, you know, when I hear the term ghost hunter, that it's like, all right, it's like Elmer Fudd. You know what I'm saying? He, yeah. You know, it's like, you know, be very, very quiet. I'm hunting apparitions or something.
Hunting apparitions, yeah.
You know, I like it's Elmer Fudd. Oh, me too. It was my favorite. But, you know, that's not what we do.
No, not at all. Yeah. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, and the other big thing of it is that people watch the shows, and I can only talk about Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters internationally only, because those are the ones that I know, and I know people on it, and I've been on GH. But, you know, we shoot 60 hours of tape. We investigate 9 hours, 8, 9, 10 hours, sometimes multiple nights. Right. And they boil that down to 44 minutes.
Yeah.
44 minutes, and it's like, and people just, you know, they expect it to be done, wham, bam, boom. Hey, you know, I only got 2 hours, so let's go find this ghost.
And they expect something to happen every 5 minutes. You know, if they have to sit there quietly and nothing happens for a couple hours, then they deem
it a ghost hunting. Mm-hmm. Jesus, I've done, on the home team, I've done case after case, viral, probably 25, 30 cases in a row where nothing happened. We were able to debunk everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get that one thing that happens on one kid, and you get that adrenaline rush, and that's what keeps me coming back, is just that trying to, you get something that happens, like, oh my God, it's great.
Yeah.
And then you get all amped up, and you're ready to go, and then the next 15 cases, there's, you know, you go into bunk. However, for me personally, I don't know about you guys, but for me personally, I get a lot of satisfaction out of being able to go into somebody's house, do our thing, do our investigation, and check it out, you know, and being able to go back, you know, little Mrs. Smith and say, you know, Mrs. Smith, that knocking in the wall, that's not Satan giving you Morse code. That's just soap turning hot water on across the house, and the pipes expand, and they pop in the joints, and that's what you're getting, you know. Or Mrs. Smith, that hissing in the attic, that's not a demon. That's a raccoon. You need an exterminator, not an exorcism. But to be able to go in and just give them these answers and say, you know what, you are experiencing this. And then their relief is, okay, I'm not crazy. And right. That's a huge relief to them, because they think they're going crazy. And then you give them a natural reason of what's going on, and you just gave that person back their home.
Yeah, right.
She's
now
the queen of her castle again.
Yeah.
And there's a huge satisfaction on that.
But then what happens when you do get the one that they probably do have a haunted house? Because, you know, those cases can go one of two ways. You can reassure them, or they can just never make peace with that.
Well, it's been my experience, and we've had quite a few... Over the 7 years I've done this, I should say quite a few, a handful, where we've gone in and we've been left, you know, we go in and holy crap, if there's not shit, I mean, stuff, sorry, there's not stuff going on. Sometimes I forget. I'm a cusser, by the way, so.
It's okay. Yes. As long as we don't say the F word, we're good. And trust me, we've talked about all sorts of things. We've skirted that F word, but by golly, we've never done it.
Yeah.
I've actually.
Listen to some of my radio interviews. I drop the F word a lot. But, I forgot the hell I was saying.
We were talking about what you do when you do get that one house that's haunted and how somebody accepts and deals with that.
Yeah, we've had a handful of them where we've been left with the WTF at the end of the night, you know, or at the end of the investigation. And, you know, I've gone back to the clients and said, you know what, Mrs. Smith? You are experiencing this. We experienced it. We documented it. Here's our evidence. And we don't know what this is. And even that, they're relieved. Because they're not crazy. With a lot of the people that we deal with, they just want, like, confirmation so that they think they're going crazy. We've only had one client who wanted us to absolutely get rid of it, but you know what? TAPS doesn't do that. Pacific Paranormal, we don't do that. We that's not our area. We come in and we document. This is how I look at my teams that I run, and this is how I look at TAPS. We're the documenters. We come in and we document what's going on. We will give you that evidence that we've documented on a CD or a flash drive or whatever, so that then you can take it to your clergy, whatever your religion is, take it to whatever your holy person is, and present it to them so that you can say, look, I'm not crazy. Here's the evidence. Can you please come bless my house or whatever you need to do?
Yeah.
Right. I like that. That's a good philosophy.
So you're more like security guards than cops.
Yeah, I guess. What am I
going to
do? What am I
going to
do? Take
him
to my house?
Sure, why not?
Put the ghost in handcuffs and, put up the freaking, what was that, the ghost kitchen thing they had on Ghostbusters with the nuclear power plant? And bottom line is, I'm not a religious person. I'm not a healer. I'm not a witch or any of that kind of stuff to be able to do the herbs or the potions. I don't know how to do that stuff. That's not me. I'm the gadget guy. I'm the guy that's figured out how to work equipment and get in there and document. I don't want to, to be able to have somebody on your team from every different religion, every different aspect. You can't do that.
I personally found
it's just better to have a few people online that you can reach out to and talk to. Like, I talk to Adam Bly a lot. He's a demonologist from the Roman Catholic perspective. Mm-hmm. I have witches that run in my family.
Mm-hmm.
That I've reached out to my aunt quite a bit when she was still alive, and now I'm reaching out to her life partner. From that kind of perspective, and I try to get it, and I point people in the right direction. But for us to come in and try and get rid of something, that's just stupid. So it's just better to let the client give them the evidence and let them go to their clergy. And if they need help, I'll try and guide them. I'll try and give them a few names they can reach out to.
Right.
So you said $65,000 worth of equipment.
About $60,000, probably.
Okay, do you want to say something before I ask him what that $60,000 consists of,
Rick? Well, I was going to say, Brett, I'm writing down your phone number right now. I know people who can look that up. I'll be showing up at your doorstep at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
The equipment. Tell us some of this $60,000 worth of gadgetry that you have.
It's not that I went out and dropped $60,000 all at once, but, nickel buying, nickel dot, it's not bad stuff. But, DVRs, and I mean, we have an 8-camera DVR system, but I have about 20 cameras. Different intensities, some are for very wide angled for small rooms, some are kind of bigger for outdoors. EMF meters and just all the gadgets over the years I've collected to monitor the environment. We have a tech van, which is an ambulance. I mean, that was like $9,000 right there alone. It just adds up. And you know what? I don't have anything different than really any other well-equipped group. It's just I happen to own it all on my team. So,
right.
And instead of, and most teams, it's kind of spread out. Someone has this, someone has that to kind of cobble it together. And then you count the little gadgets that I've made, like special microphones that Anthony over at Spire, they're a group out of Houston. It's a badass team. And Anthony is like a little gadget guy. He made me some microphones. All that stuff kind of adds up, the R&D, the time. So
right,
it just
right.
adds up over time.
It does. Oh, I know. I haven't been doing it too terribly long, but I am married to Techie McSciensky. And the guy didn't believe even that ghosts existed when we started this. And he just, he's like a gadget magnet. And the stuff... Oh, we have what we call the paranormal box of fun, and it's threatening to to overflow. We got a lot of stuff.
I got that in my closet, except it's filled with porn.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Well, that's the one we keep locked up from the kids. And then, of course, we have the gun safe box of fun that we also keep locked up from the kids. So, there's all sorts of things that our kids aren't allowed to touch in our house.
biting my tongue.
Yeah, it's okay. You can say that stuff. We accidentally wound up in a conversation a few weeks ago. We were interviewing a couple of paranormal romance writers. And we actually wound up in a conversation about anal probes and paranormal porn. So, it's okay. If you need to say it and it doesn't contain the F word, we're golden. It's okay.
Oh, geez.
So, hey, Britt, are you going to Ghost Hunters International?
Am I what?
Are you going to Ghost Hunters International or are you staying with Ghost Hunters?
What was that question? I didn't quite hear that.
I heard a rumor that you might... You can't answer. Got it.
Oh,
okay,
God. Britt, understands.
That rumor's been going around since Ghost Hunters International actually came on the air I was going to that show, and almost every season they talked about sending me over there for some stuff, and I always end up back on GH, so I've never been there, but if they ask me to go, I'm there. But
cool.
I haven't gone yet.
Okay, cool. Mm. So I wanted to ask you, and I asked you, I know at the top of the show, if it was okay to ask you about this, and you said, bring it on. You said we could ask you anything, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I don't hide from anything. You know, you got a question, answer it, or ask it, and I'll answer it. If it's something I can't answer because of, you know, the show type stuff, then I'll tell you straight up I can't answer it.
Yeah, I want to talk about the recent controversy involving the word fag. Do you know what I'm speaking about?
You really? It's a controversy? It's gotten that big now?
That's what I've heard.
What are we talking about? What?
So I just wanted you to, because I've heard a little bit of it, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to just explain what it is and explain, you know, why it's okay.
Why it's okay?
Or you know what I mean? I wanted to give you the opportunity to sort of say your piece about it.
Oh, I'm I am very blue collar. I think I responded to one of the posts about it, but I am very blue collar, born and raised in that all my life, and we use 4-letter words like they're just everyday words. I probably drop the F bomb about every other sentence.
Yeah.
Normally.
Yeah.
But I don't say in my lexicon. God, I hate even saying the word, but faggot is not in my lexicon. I don't say that word. It's not like you know how you can watch some of the rap videos and the N word is like every other word out of their mouth type of thing.
Right,
but that's because
right.
I'm not going to get away. I don't say that word. Why my brain locked up and went there? I don't know. However, I mean, I am everything else in that interview. I don't know if you've listened to it. It's pretty harsh. Everything else in that interview, I'm fine with. I am definitely pro gun. And yeah. I get really pissy when people talk about taking my guns away.
Yeah.
Because those people will end up being ruled by somebody. I will never will be. But, you know, so I got kind of wound up in why I went to that word. I have no idea, but I did. But I'm definitely not a homophobe or a racist. If I was a homophobe racist, I wouldn't have let my gay 16-year-old niece live in my house for a year and a half while her dad, my brother, got back on his feet with my 7-year-old twins and my 3-year-old son. You know, I mean, I wouldn't do that.
Right.
My aunt, who just passed of MS last year, who was a Wiccan witch, high priestess, died of MS, was gay, was a lesbian.
Yeah.
And I still talk to her life partner today. So, you know, and bottom line, I'm born and raised in Southern California, grew up working in Hollywood. How the hell can you be a homophobe and survive in that industry? You can't.
Well,
but
when you're
there
in the public...
out there,
yeah. When you're in the public eye, and no matter what you say, it sometimes kind of comes under scrutiny.
And I was wound up already. I was kind of in a pissy mood that night anyway, so sometimes I come off harsh. But you got a glimpse of that's who I am. I mean, I talk like that. I'm really cleaning myself up right now, but I do talk like that normally. I drop the F-bomb. I do have a very sarcastic kind of sense of humor, but I am a fun guy, too. I like to have fun most of the time, but... and I don't take myself very seriously.
Right.
You know, granted, don't get me wrong, I've been investigating the paranormal long before the show was on.
Yes.
But because I'm on a TV show, I get all these people calling me an expert, and they look up to me, and it's like, dude, there's so many other people in this field who are so much more smarter than me and doing so much better work than I. That's who you guys should be engaging and talking to and learning from, not me. I mean, I'm just a guy on TV who got lucky and got a TV show, and now I get to bounce around the country and hopefully soon the world chasing ghosts.
Right.
You know, so, anyway, I don't know. Sometimes I get wound up and I shoot. My mouth gets me in trouble all the time.
Yeah, I have a bad case of foot and mouth disease, too. The difference is that I'm not hugely in the public eye.
Yeah, and then the other part that came out of that has been really spun around is the whole Rodney King thing that I brought up. And I need to be very specific about this because, I mean, I lived it when it happened. I lived here in Southern California where the riots happened. I was here for it all, the trials, the whole nine yards. I specifically think that the officers that were in training got a raw deal. I don't think they should have been arrested and put in jail. Maybe lose their job, but I don't think the officers in training should have been because they were brand new out of the academy. They probably had tunnel vision and were just focused on Rodney King as their training officers. Their sergeants were yelling at them in the background, telling them what to do. Those guys were just doing as they were told in a very stressful situation. Specifically them, I think, got a raw deal, and that's why I backed out of the academy and didn't follow it. Because I thought, you know, Jesus, I'm a training officer, I'm learning this job, and I can get in trouble like this and go to jail? Nah, I don't want to be part of that.
Right.
And that's what I backed out. So it's not a black-white racial thing. It's just I didn't want to go down that road at that time. At 21 years old, I was looking at it going, I don't want to do that.
Right. Well, you know, you say things, and people are going to put their own spin and interpretation on what you say.
There's people out there that just hate cast because we're on TV and because it's the number one show, and it's just that's what we do in America. Someone starts to climb, they make a good thing. Yep, gotta take them out.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a cult of personality, basically.
Yeah. And then you had me, who I don't back down from those people. I mean, there's people in this field and who are on TV. They go, oh, you can't say that. Oh, you can't say that. Well, you can't be yourself. You got. And I'm like, I have 37 years of my life behind the camera. 37 years of my life. I know who I am. I know what I'm about. And when I made the decision to go on TV in front of the camera, and I talked to my wife and my close friends about it when I was thinking about it, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to change who I am. I'm just going to be myself. And they all kind of laughed at me and said, dude, you know who you are? You know what comes out of your mouth? You're going to be in trouble a lot. Well, you know, it is what it is.
Right. Right.
But I'm not a racist and I'm not a homophobe. I'm the furthest thing from that. I'm a lot of other messed up things, but that's not one of them.
All right. Well, thank you for, you know, I wanted to give you at least the opportunity to say your piece, because I know that there has been some, I don't want to call it rumors, information swirling and a little bit of controversy. So I wanted to at least touch on it so that people didn't say that I didn't.
Yeah. And bottom line, there's no such thing as bad press. Just don't misspell my name.
I'm going to call you Britt, B-R-I-T, Griffin. You'd be like an honorary member of the Griffin. So what's the worst misspelling and mangling of your name you've come across so far?
Oh geez, I get Brent, Brent, Rick, Dick, and a lot of times I get Brittany. Actually, that's what they used to call me at my day job, was Brittany. But fortunately, I have a good sense of humor and I have very, very, very thick skin, so.
Yeah, you definitely seem to.
I don't take myself that seriously. That's a secret.
Okay. So, hey, I have some
chat
room.
I just like to have fun.
I have some chat room questions. You want to do some chat room questions before we go to break?
Whatever you want.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Andy wants to know if you can explain which ETC system you use.
Can I explain it?
What do you use? He says he needs to know if the thermal used in the system was a FLIR photon core. I have no idea what I just said, so I'm hoping you do.
the camera that came with the FLIR system that came with the ETC unit, when we got that unit, it only had an IR camera and then a FLIR or a infrared camera. I have looked all over that camera for any kind of brand name of what it is, and it's not on it. It's just I don't know if it's a no-name camera type of thing or what, but it's just basically an aluminum body with that lens in it and the port that comes out that you plug it into the system. I have no idea. But if you go to KB port, I think .com, they're the ones that make it, and they can answer those specific technical questions. But I have no idea. All I know is that it's an infrared camera, and that's about $6,000. So I've been told not to drop it.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of money. Damn.
Yeah. And that's just that camera. That doesn't count the rest of the unit. It's like a $13,000 unit.
So do you see the question in the chat room right now, Britt? Hey, Britt, are you having an affair with Amy?
If you say that to Amy, she will probably puke on you.
That'd be a big no. All right.
Yeah, Amy and I are friends. We were friends before being on the show and before being a part of DAPS.
Hmm.
But I do think she's hot.
I totally do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but every time I tell her that, she throws up. So I don't think I'm her type. Plus, I'm kind of married, and she knows my wife.
Well, I know. So wait. Now, Rick, did you think that Amy was hot or paranormal hot? I forgot.
Hot.
Okay, Amy's hot. So
see, it's the It's the red hair, because my wife has red hair, so...
Hot versus paranormal hot? So, let me see. Hot is, did I say Selma Hayek, Rick?
Yes.
Yeah, hot is Selma Hayek. And who's, give me somebody who's paranormal hot, Rick.
Well, there was also Jael, too.
Oh, Jael's hot, yeah. Yeah. Maybe Donna LaCroix, paranormal hot.
Mm-hmm. Paranormal hot. All right.
Yeah, so hot.
Well, we all look... I think we all look good at our IR light.
Oh my god, my husband is totally hot on IR.
Yeah, I wish I could see an IR.
It's like beer goggles.
You know what? Before I dropped like 90 some pounds, it was like on IR I looked like this humongous balloon.
Oh, well, but now you're probably IR hot. Are you IR?
No, that's because you're fat.
So now we have hot paranormal hot and IR hot. I look terrible on IR. I will admit it. Okay, so a couple more chat room questions before we go to break. Humming wants to know, what's your favorite investigation?
You know, I get asked that question a lot. It's really, really hard to pick just one out. I mean, I've been so many crazy places. But top of the list is like Wolf Manor, Clovis Sanitarium episode. Been there about 13, 14 times. Holy crap, is that place a paranormal playground?
Yeah.
I've been there that many times. It never ceases to produce something.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry, Bert. What was the place again? I had like a lag there.
Oh, Wolf Manor. It was the Clovis Sanitarium episode.
Mm-hmm. And that's down in California, right?
Yeah, that's in Clovis. Yeah, Central California, right by Fresno.
Oh, we're thinking about driving down that way this spring, so maybe I'll have to see if I can work
my way. It's definitely worth if you can get in there, it's worth it. It's a crazy place.
I'll use my journalist credentials.
Yeah, you know, I look at, like, the Star of India down in San Diego, the world's oldest sailing ship. That was the first place that I felt the impact of disembodied footsteps. You know, that's a badass place. Plus, it's a really cool ship with some great history. You know, I stood on the exact spot where the Hindenburg crashed. Just from a historical standpoint, that's a great place to investigate. And holy crap, is that... I can't even articulate how big the hangar is that we were in. It's amazing. Uh-huh. You know, I went to the... We investigated the old state house in Connecticut, where I stood in the footsteps, the exact footsteps where George Washington was when he negotiated with the French for the troops to win the Revolutionary War.
That's kind of groovy. And
I can't even imagine that.
You know, and in that building, they have the only portrait of George Washington that they think that he was sitting down for the artist to paint.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're joking public, you're 20 feet away from that at the closest you can get. I'd have to be close enough I could see the brush strokes on it.
Wow.
You know, we did a Civil War museum, and they let me put on a Civil War jacket that was on the battlefield. I got to put one on.
Wow.
And how badass is that?
That's pretty bad.
You know, so I just, and it was all different locations, and it's just like, wow. I mean, I've just experienced so much. I've been so lucky to be able to do this job and travel the country and get paid for it. And the really cool thing about it is we don't go to tourist spots like, you know, New York, Seattle, Miami. We go to the middle of nowhere America. We go off the beaten path. And you know, I've been in some of the flyover states, and I met a local, and I got to talk it. He invited me to his grandma's house, where his grandma cooked this huge country spread. The whole family was there, like 17 of them, and it's just what they did every Sunday night. It was their family tradition. And it was just, I mean, granted, I'm not quite a stranger because they see me on TV, but still, they invited me to their home, and I got to eat the most badass home cooking that I've had in a really long time. So
they are so much nicer in the middle of the country than we are on the coasts, aren't they?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm here in Illinois, and we're awesome.
Except for Rick. Yeah. It's not nice.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's definitely a different speed. You get off the coast, and you get inland a little bit. It's definitely a different speed.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Another question. So, Gots Anime Fever wants to know if you have ever investigated a house that has been moved but still has spirits.
I have never investigated a house that has been moved that I can think of. I don't even think I've ever investigated a house that's been moved. However, I mean, there's the whole attachment theory where a spirit if they're attached to stuff, and maybe it's the home, maybe it's an artifact in the home that they go over that artifact. Is that? And I guess if you're moving a home, it's technically an artifact that's being moved around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I wonder if that's I wonder if that's a pointed and specific question, because Gott's Anime Fever has perhaps lives in a house like that.
Are you making fun of what? Are you making fun of people who live in mobile homes?
No. A house that's been moved that still has. No, you know how like they put houses. I actually didn't even occur to me of mobile homes. But you know how like, they put houses on barges and stuff and move them.
I'm just busting on you. I'm like, no.
I just hadn't even thought of a mobile home, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I rotate the tires on my house once a month, whether it needs it or not.
So he also wants to know what the creepiest EVP is that you personally have ever captured. And can you act it out?
creepy. God, I've experienced so many over the years. I don't know if it's classified as creepy, but the show-wise, the one at the Colonial Inn where they shot her around the world, the one where it was calling Jason Daddy, would sound like a little girl.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that was very heart-wrenching. I was like, wow, holy crap.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, I watched the episode, and it didn't come across as clear via the TV as it did when we had headphones on, but... And that is the bane of our existence.
That's pretty common. You know, like on Ghost Adventures, I never, ever, ever could hear their EVPs. Ever.
That's because you're going straight to hell, Karen.
Well, I am going straight to hell. Sometimes I think I'm already there, Rick.
And I'm driving the bus, so don't shut up.
After rotating the tires on your house.
Exactly.
So Dave G wanted to know if you can recommend a good wide-angle DVR camera.
You know what? God, there are so many of them now. They're just a dime a dozen, and they're really cheap nowadays. But I've been buying the Swan series lately. But you know, whatever's on sale. I mean, get them cheap enough, they break. You throw them out, you buy another one.
Okay. Mm. All right. Okay, so hey, let's go to break, and you'll stick around with us after and talk a little more after the break, Britt?
Sure.
Okay, let's go to break.
Fun. I'll stay around all night.
Sweet! Okay.
Hey, maybe he'll want to do the...
You can stay around for Michael, our Ghost Gadget guy, and you guys can, like, totally geek out, and then you can stay around and do our lightning round. Sound good?
Okay.
Hey. We'll talk about it.
I don't know what I'm in for, but okay.
We'll talk about it in the break. Cheryl, let's go to break.
Want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at Paranormal UG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
It's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency.
On ztalkradio.com.
We're back!
We're back.
That always has such an abrupt ending that it surprises me when it's over. So we are back with, let's see, Brittany Griffin. Is that right? Is that who our guest is tonight?
Is it Greg Griffith? Rick Griffith. There we go.
Rick. Yeah, Rick Griffith. Welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me, Mark and Brian.
Hey, you're welcome. Which one am I?
Whichever one you want.
I kind of would like to be Mark, I think.
I'll go with Brian. What the hell?
Well, you
have Dr. Right with your hair being pulled.
So, hey, Britt, have you ever had any dude run moments?
Negatory, Morning Glory. I do not run. How can you? We're there to experience this stuff. How can you experience it if you're running from it?
Exactly.
I have no idea. I have never run either, but apparently some people do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I don't do run. I hate the fact that they actually use that. That was the biggest, most single embarrassing moment of the Taps team, in my opinion, on TV. You don't do run. If people are calling us in there, into their homes, into their facilities, because they are afraid. We are not supposed to be afraid.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't get me wrong. If there's a rabid animal coming at me, yeah, I may run. But I'm not going to run from a shadow person.
Yeah.
See, if there's a rabid animal coming at us, apparently I have been given instructions by my gun wielding husband to get behind him and let him shoot it. So.
Yeah. Good luck in shooting something that is not among the living anymore.
No, not those rabid animals, because we investigate places outdoors sometimes and up in the woods, and so
I'm like experiencing wicked lag right now.
Ooh, wicked lag. We don't like wicked lag. Where are you guys on the East Coast? Why are you using wicked? You're from Illinois.
It's become popular because of your show.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right, huh?
Yeah.
That's right.
What really screws people up is when I blend West Coast with East Coast, I'm like, hello, wicked.
So, hey, Britt, do you guys have some live events coming up?
Actually, we do. If you go to BeyondRealityEvents.com, BeyondRealityEvents.com. Did I say that right? Actually, Amy and I, we have one event coming up in October on the West Coast at the Savant. I almost screwed the name of the theater up. The Savant Theater on Wilshire in Beverly Hills, right next to the Larry Flint Building, Rick. So you can come.
All right.
It's gonna be a live event with Chip Coffee. He's the headliner. He's gonna do actually a gallery reading.
Yeah.
So he'll do a lecture and a gallery, and it's mostly from the medium standpoint, which is great. And then Amy and I are going to lecture, and Bill Murphy from Fact or Fake, Paranormal Files.
Yeah, we lecture had Bill on the show.
Yeah, he was a cool cat.
Yeah. So, you know, he and I are going to do like a very techie type lecture. Amy's going to do like the history of ghost hunting. Oh, and then we're going to have Adam Bly there, demonology from a Roman Catholic standpoint. That guy scares the hell out of people. And the evidence that he shows in the photos, he kind of scares people. And then we ended with Chick Coffee doing his gallery reading, which is always a tearjerker fun kind of event. So that's a bond. And it's in October, so something to do in October that's Ghost Hunter related.
Very good. Okay, and did you say something about the Stanley too?
Oh, Stanley Hotel. Yes, yeah, that's like in November, the beginning of November 6th, 5th, 6th, 7th. Right in that time frame. And it's another event where Amy and I will be there. Chris will be there. KJ McCormick, my new partner, will be there. Adam Berry, who won the Ghost Hunters Academy.
Mm-hmm.
He's been out with Ghost Hunters right now filming, but he'll be there also. He's a great kid. That guy is so funny. I damn near pissed my pants the first night I met him. We went out bar hopping. And that guy just spews funny. I don't know how he does it. He can sing Ethel Merman like no tomorrow. he can show tunes all night long. And he taught me how to do jazz hands. I didn't realize there was a whole technique to do a jazz hands, but I guess there is. Anyway, he's freaking hilarious. Yeah. Yeah, your elbows have to stay on your hips when you do jazz hands. You don't. Not a
will
big arc.
Will we see jazz hands in an upcoming episode from you, Britt?
I'm doing it right now. And I feel weird doing it, you know? I kind of see how, like, a Tyrannosaurus Rex would feel with those little arms, like, jazz.
Exactly. You know, it's kind of funny, Karen. You know, I actually dance a lot while I'm investigating on camera, just being a goof, just being a knucklehead. But they never use it. They always make me so effing serious.
You do seem really serious. Yes, I'm a little surprised that you're not.
No, I'm not a very serious guy. I mean, don't get me wrong. I take this field seriously, and when there's a client in front of me and you're doing a job at a client's house, I'm very serious. But even within the investigation, you got to have fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just don't be disrespectful, but you got to have fun. I mean, we spend a lot of time with our team members. If we're not going to have fun, then really?
People who get upset,
you can't be having fun. It's a very serious problem. And, shut the hell up.
You know, one of my biggest complaints about most of the ghost shows is that nobody seems to be having any fun. And I don't know about you, but when I investigate, I have a hell of a lot of fun. We laugh a lot. I mean, we're serious when we need to be, but you know, it's fun too. It's you're with your friends and, you know, it's okay. You can have fun.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as long as you're not being disrespectful or breaking something of the clients, you know, we got to have fun.
Yeah. Well, and I'm a big believer.
It's going to be a really long, boring night.
Yeah, no, and I'm a big believer that a lot of ghosts have. That ghosts have the same personality that they had in life. Yeah. And so, you know, they may be jokers or have a sense of humor, and they may actually respond to something that you're doing that's funny. I've had many times where we've gotten an EVP chuckle because we've been doing something a little off.
Some of the best evidence I've collected has come from when we've gone from the organized controlled EVP session to just banter and goofy, you know, kind of banter back and forth, laughing, having a good time. That's where I've gotten some of my best EVPs.
Yeah, they like to interrupt, don't they?
Yeah, they like to interrupt or join in.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I find that too, that most of the formal EVP sessions don't yield a whole lot, but the other stuff usually does.
Yeah, but, you know, or is that just because we do a lot of the other stuff more, so you have a bigger chunk of tape to review with just the scooping around, as opposed to the 2-3-4 minute organized EVP session?
Yeah, it could be.
You know what I mean?
Plus, EVP questions, I find, are usually very non-creative and boring. What is your name?
Can you give us a sign of your EVP presence?
Yeah, but if you haven't heard my EVP sessions, I'm, like, all over the place.
I kind of am I think they'll respond to more interesting conversation.
Yeah. I ask some questions in Joe Chin, my partner, and I'll ask questions and he'll look at me and go, what did you just ask? I ask it all.
So you guys,
you're right. I mean, if they were a human being and now they're, and we're going with the theory that they're our spirit not crossing over, which I don't necessarily subscribe to that theory, but if that's what we're going with, yeah, their personality should carry over. They should want to have fun.
Absolutely. I agree. I agree 100%. And I think that's my biggest complaint about most of the ghost shows, probably including yours, is that you guys do have some fun on the show, but a lot of times I just think it's too serious.
So. Yeah. But that's what, you know, they want. I mean, there's so much that goes on. I mean, we shoot 60 hours of tape for 44 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, do they want to show us, do you want to see a whole segment of us joking and goofing off, or do you want to see a segment of us investigating and getting something? Most people want to see us getting something.
Yeah, that's
true.
That's
why they have special features on DVD, so.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, and the other thing is that Chris and I are working on is, because we travel a lot and we're out in the middle of nowhere and we go off and do like little excursions and whatnot, we're starting to videotape those with our phones because now they're 1080i. Can you believe our phones shoot 1080i? But, and we're going to start, I'm starting to edit them together and whatnot. We're going to start putting them up on our YouTube accounts.
Oh, fun. That's a good idea.
For the fans to see it just being dorks and goofs and what we do on our downtime and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Hey, how do you feel about the way that the show is edited? Do you feel that the editing is an accurate portrayal, or would you maybe choose differently if you were given the option?
You know, I actually watched the show so hard and critiqued the hell out of it that I can tell what editor has edited an episode. Because each editor has kind of their own style.
Sure.
But, you know, I guess we should talk about this investigating on TV and the differences.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The big difference for me personally, and this is only because, you know, I investigated organized before the show was on, and then I did that for many years and while the show was on. I didn't come along until like season 4.5. The biggest bit for Ghost Hunters, and it's the only one I can talk about because it's the only one I've been on, the biggest difference is I have to articulate everything. Like Amy and I, we know each other very well. We're pretty much best friends. We can investigate together and maybe say 3 words, but we know exactly what we're thinking, exactly where we're going, exactly what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
How boring would that be to you, the viewer?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to articulate everything. I mean, I have to, like KJ and I at the Oda Saga when we were having the shadow play and the laser grid went off on us. Because there was no camera, you know, I went, whoa, the laser grid just went off. Well, obviously KJ knows the laser grid just went off because he's staring at it too. But if I just say whoa and drop it at that, you, the audience, has no idea what the hell just happened. So
right.
We have to kind of retrain our brain we have to articulate everything. And that's which is not a big deal now that I'm used to it. But boy, it took a while to get used to that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be able to tell the story. There always has to be a Sherlock and there always has to be a Watson. And you know what that is, right? Sherlock and Watson? Watson was in the story to ask Sherlock the questions so that that gave Sherlock a reason to talk. And that was basically for the audience. Watson was the audience, so that Sherlock could talk about his hypothesis or his theories so that you understand what he's doing. It's kind of the same thing with what we do on Ghost Hunters, is at least the teams that I'm on, and I don't mind being Watson, I have to ask those questions. I have to ask Joe Chin, so what goes on in this room? Even though I already know, I have to ask that question so he can talk about it so that you guys, as the audience, knows what the hell's going on and what we're looking for. If we didn't, you guys would be going, why the hell are they standing in that room?
Right.
So that's the big difference for me from investigating from investigating at home as opposed on the show. And the other question I get a lot of is, well, you have 14 people behind that camera. How can you do a proper investigation?
Yeah.
No, it's just me, Joe, or KJ, the camera guy, and maybe a sound man. Total of 4. Now, on the home team, we investigate 4 strong.
Mm-hmm.
And our cameraman and our sound guy have been doing the show long enough that there are ghost investigators also. They've become part of our team. And what's really cool on Ghost Hunters, Kenny is my camera guy, and he is truly into it. He just loves the paranormal, and he gets freaked out. It's kind of funnier than hell, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But he is really into it. So when we kind of get into something or something starts to go down, he knows to close his viewfinder and stop moving and okay, he's not going to go for that cool shot of us doing whatever because he knows something's going down and we got to preserve the scene and be as quiet as possible so we can document as much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the crew, it works well with us. And then all the other crew that's with us, which is not a lot. I mean, we maybe have 10 crew total and then 6 cast members, 16 total on a team. You know, they're all outside. And I'm telling you right now, on Ghost Hunters, our scene is more secure than a home team investigation because we have people outside surrounding the facility, making sure that we have no bogeys inbound, no people coming in, nobody walking around, no transit. And if they see somebody or they hear something, they let us know on the radio. So
I thought you were going to say they shot him.
I shot him?
No, they thought take them down. When they come, they shoot them. They take them down. They arrest them.
Hey, Brett, please finish your thought. I apologize.
Oh, I have no thoughts. I'm just babbling.
we do have a couple of more chat room questions. One from Michelle wants to know, what basic equipment do you recommend for investigating?
Basic equipment just starting out. I love the mini DV because you can document visual and audio. And you flip the LCD screen around backwards facing away from you, and now you get yourself a flashlight. So you got 3 pieces of equipment in one.
Oh, very cool. I never even thought of that.
Yeah, and we get a lot of EVPs off of our mini DV cameras. So, I mean, if you have one thing that you got a little chunk of money saved up that you're going to go after, get yourself a good Sony. Don't mess around with any other one. Sony Nightshot hard drive camera. That's what I'm going to, the hard drive cameras.
I don't think anybody else has Nightshot anymore, and Sony just got rid of theirs, didn't they?
Yeah, they're phasing it out. So better get them now while you can.
Yeah.
The only other night shots out. Although, you know what, to be honest with you, working with Barry like I do a lot and working with some of his equipment, zero lux. Zero lux is where it's at. Get those zero lux cameras, light amplification, starlight technology, to where you can put a camera in a room and you don't have to flood it with IR light or UV light or whatever, and just document that way. Try and get as close to seeing what the human eye sees as possible. And we're having a lot of luck catching evidence with that kind of technology.
Yeah.
And UV. If you can get UV, it's just super, super, super expensive to get proper UV cameras. That's the place to be. That's where we're finding so much stuff happening.
Right. And Guts Anime Fever. By the way, Anime Fever. I love that because I'm like a huge anime freak. But Guts Anime Fever wanted to know, Britt, how unsettling is it for you to hear your full name on an EVP?
I've had my full name come out of a Frank's box.
Oh, sweet!
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah,
and
I think the Frank's box was a joke for a long time, but
yeah.
Yeah, you know, anytime my name is said in an EVP freaks today, I was like, what? Have you been properly introduced? And I didn't touch her, I swear.
But when they say Rick Griffin, you wonder if they're talking about you or perhaps someone else.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and my name is not a short name. I mean, it's Britt Griffin, and that's what I heard come out of a Frank's box.
And wow.
How
does my whole name come out of that box?
I don't know.
Cool.
I don't know.
So I guess the answer to the question is, yeah, it is unnerving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to break, and you tell me you're going to stick around and for Michael's segment and for the lightning round, but I wanted to ask you before we go to break what you have coming up in the future, anything that you want people to know about.
I got to tell you now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. For me in the future is more investigating. Obviously, the live show. I just got signed to the live show yesterday, so I'll be at Buffalo Central Terminal on the 31st. And there'll be some secrets revealed there, like Chris's big secret will be answered there, which you should tune in for. What else do I got going on? I don't know. Do you know anything I'm doing? I'll probably be dodging my wife's shoes if she throws them at me because I'm not doing my chores like I should.
Oh, you and every other. Never mind.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
go on.
Yeah. I don't know. That's all I can think of right now. I am packing right now. I'm going back on the road for 5 weeks.
All right.
Wow. Where are you going? Or can you tell us?
I can't say.
Okay.
We're not allowed to say where we're going until after all the shooting is done.
Okay. Deal.
Because otherwise, we have hundreds of people show up.
Okay. Yeah. So. Let's do this. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to have Michael Kravchuk, the ghost gadget guy, and he's going to talk about ways of detecting static, I guess, other than balloons. So, and Britt's going to stick around because he and Michael can talk gadgets to their heart's content, or at least for about 20
awesome.
Minutes.
I've actually been, can I ask some questions about it? Because I've been trying to figure out this whole static.
Dude, totally. You can now switch roles and become interviewer. How's that sound?
Well, the world's going to end now.
Okay, well, let's go to break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Did you know that you can talk to your favorite show hosts from the ZTalk Radio Network? Check out the forum and see what it's all about at ztalkradio.com. You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
We're back!
And there was somebody spanking the monkey again at the end of that.
I know, I can't listen to that. I just, every time I hear that, it's like... Yeah!
Hey, Britt, I wanted to add, you know, we were talking a little bit off the air. What exactly does your, you know, wife think of you being gone for long periods of time?
Well, you know, I pay for a pool service every month, and I don't have a pool.
Good answer.
Yeah, I think she enjoys it when I'm gone, because when I do get home about 4 days into it, she's looking at her watch going, don't you have a place to be? I think I screwed up her Sancho cycle. No, I'm really lucky. I mean, I do have three kids, and I don't know how the hell she does it, because I'm home for about a week, and I'm like ready to go back to work to get a break.
Yeah.
But, you know, she puts up with it, and bottom line is how we pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we get some perks. I mean, bottom line, being on TV, we do get some perks out of it that are really cool. Like, we don't have to wait in line for a lot of stuff. Or we get invites to parties we thought we would never be able to go to. So, I mean, there's pluses and minuses to it. You know,
you get the best tables at IHOP because of it.
You do what?
You get the best tables at the local IHOP.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, she gets by. She enjoys the perks to it, but it does have some drawbacks. Like, I am gone 5 weeks at a time. But,
yeah.
You know, when I was doing my day job, I worked, you know, 12 to 16 hours every day, 6 days a week, and I slept on Sundays. So I was never home then either. So, you know, this way, I mean, I may be gone for 5 weeks, but then I am home for 2.5-3 weeks. And
yes,
we always get sometime during the year, we always get like a 2-month off break. So, and then I'm home. I can actually do stuff with the kids. I'm not always tired. So
that's cool.
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
She tends to enjoy it, and... You know, Rico the pool boy is pretty damn cute, so.
Is he hot or paranormal hot?
He has 6-pack abs, a nice tan, and yeah, he's pretty hot.
I'm gonna come visit your wife so I can meet Rico the pool boy. So hey, we need to get to Michael, who's been so quietly waiting to tell us about staticky things. Hey, Michael.
I know, it's been hard to be quiet.
Hey, Mike.
You got something to say? Just pipe in. We're good.
You know what? I will. You know, I think it's funny because last time I was on, we were talking about handheld probes, and now you want me to talk about balloons. So, boy, we deviate. So, static electricity. You know, how many times have we gone on investigations and we get that hair standing on the back of our neck feeling, and we're going, gee, you know, is that us just... getting freaked out in the moment, or is there actually, you know, something going on that's making that hair stand on our arms there? So that's what I'd like to talk about tonight.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, without getting into the whole Mr. Wizard diatribe here of what static electricity is, I mean, essentially, you know, we're all made up of atoms and neutrons and electrons and all that stuff. And essentially, you know, the entire environment tries to stay neutral. But static electricity starts to occur when either we get a buildup of this positive electricity or negative electricity buildup. And just as anybody knows, when that happens, you're, you know, shuffling your feet across the rug and you touch that metal doorknob, you know, you get that electric shock there. So pretty much on investigations, the same way we want to see if we can measure EMF and if we're having any naturally caused EMF or if we're getting any buildup of unnatural caused EMF, if you will. Same thing with static electricity. And there's a couple different devices that are out there that work pretty well. And the nice thing about them is you can use them, you know, probably for the two types of static electricity that interest us as paranormal investigators. And the first one is static electricity that's naturally occurring. So if anybody has ever been in a situation, anybody who lives in cold weather, when the furnace starts to go on and the air starts to dry out in the house, you find out that, you know, the static electricity starts to build up in the house. It doesn't take too much to walk across the carpet or you know, touch one of your kids and, you know, get a nice little shock right there. You know, I think some people have fun doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that we like for paranormal investigators is when we start seeing a static electricity occurring and it's in an unusual situation. Let's say, for example, you're in a high humidity situation where you shouldn't be getting a buildup of high humidity. and with these meters or devices I'm going to talk about, and all of a sudden you start seeing them go off at the same time that we're getting, you know, either a buildup in EMF, or we're hearing you know, auditory noises, etc. So one of the items out there, and I think Britt, you guys have used this, it's the Ramsey TF-M3C, otherwise known from Modotronic, a company out there that makes a lot of different ghost hunting tools, with the Modotronic Tri-Field Meter.
Yeah, we do use that. And actually, they just sent me a brand new updated version. I'm looking for it now to get the name of it.
I am dying to see what that's going to be. I'm dying to see what that's going to be. But the neat thing with this thing is, unfortunately, Modotronic stopped selling it, but you can still buy it online. It is a kit, and it is from Ramsey. It's about $75. If you have any electrical acumen, you can, you know, if you know how to use a soldering iron, you probably put this thing together. But the really neat thing about this is it is extremely sensitive, to the point where, and I even think you saw on, if I recall, on the show, it had to actually be put into a room, the door had to be closed, the camera on it, and everybody out of it, because it actually, if you were moving around in the room, and we found this out too, that if you're moving around and you're building up static electricity, you will actually make this thing go off. So what we've used this for is if we're in an area where we see a lower humidity situation, and we're actually building up that energy in the room, that static electricity, we can actually detect that with this meter.
Wow, that's very cool.
The other meter, or it's not really a meter, actually the other device that I like that's out there, and okay, you guys are going to laugh at me. Okay, if you haven't heard of this already, it's called the E-Pod. Now, I stopped drinking Evian.
The rim job.
Yeah, when somebody pointed out,
God,
I stopped drinking.
You just gave Britt a heart attack, Rick.
I'm sorry, Mike.
You okay there, Britt?
E-Pod. You know, I stopped drinking Evian water years ago when somebody pointed out that Evian backwards is naive. So, you know, when I first heard about the E-Pod, I thought, oh boy, you know, look backwards, okay, dope, okay, I get it. But, you know, this device is actually made by Gary Galka. Gary is the maker of the now famous Melmeters that are out there. And it's a pretty interesting device. It's actually made from PVC plumbing, and essentially it's real simple. Turn it on, turn it off. And essentially what this does is, once it detects a change in the static electricity around this, it will actually turn the light of the device on, or it will turn the light of the device off. Nice. And the top of this thing glows, so you can charge it up with a battery, so this way you're not going to trip over it in the dark. And what's neat with this is, and what we've done is, I actually bought these in a four-pack, and you could put them on the stairs, you could put them in a room, so that this way, if this thing does go off, if it does detect a change in static electricity, you can actually see movement. I did, you know, we've used these on investigations before. We did have a situation where we were in a pretty, I would say, a higher humidity environment where this shouldn't have gone off by us walking around or anything. And we were in the middle of an EVP session, and the light was actually off at the time. And in the midst of us starting to hear sounds and noises and the sound of a child's whimper, all of a sudden we asked, you know, can you give us a sign that you're here? And this thing lit up like a Christmas tree and stayed lit up for the remainder of the evening. You know, again, can't really explain it as paranormal because it only happened once. It didn't go on, didn't go off. But it's a really neat device that's out there. It's $55 out there. I'm sure if you contact ProMeasure, I'm sure that they'll give you a discount if you buy them, you know, in a four-pack. Or you can actually get them on Paul Bradford's site at creepyhollow.com. So okay. He's used these many times before.
Interesting.
Yeah, but Paul's British. Don't trust him.
It could
isn't
be
he,
worse.
Isn't he a juggalo, too? Yeah, well, there you go. Isn't Paul a juggalo, too? Is that Paul who's the juggalo?
Yeah, what the hell is a juggalo? Can someone explain that to me?
A juggalo is somebody who is a follower of the Insane Clown Posse.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes, yeah. He is that.
See,
I'm always teasing about Paul. He's a good guy. So I'm just busting on him.
So did you have Mr. Rick Griffin, in your role as interviewer, do you have any questions for the Ghost Gadget guy?
Why do we think that the ghosties are affecting the static electricity field? Is it just a byproduct of whatever they're doing, or are they actually going after that particular field for energy to do whatever they're going to do?
That's a good question, Britt. And I think the same way that we don't know how EMF gets detected or gets changed, the same thing with static electricity. And just like you said, it could be a byproduct of their manifestation, or maybe it's a matter of them drawing energy out of the air and changing the change in the neutral state. I'm not really sure. And I think the more devices that we use to detect these different changes in all these different fields that we're looking at, the more we're going to be able to substantiate what we're finding.
Mm. Kind of broke in my mouth there. Sorry about that. I got a question. I have a theory that I've been running with. Yeah, oops, sorry.
Whoa, what? Wait, what? Okay, no.
Yeah.
I broke my mouth a little bit.
Yeah. I hope that wasn't anything we did.
It was pretty much Dr. Pepper, sorry. My question is, I've been kind of running with this theory for a while after having long conversations with Andy Coppa, the quantum physicist engineer, that what we're documenting, the EMF fluctuations, the static electricity type stuff, the sound, is that we're kind of documenting the ripple effect. Like, we're not actually seeing or documenting the actual paranormal activity, like the rock hitting the pond. Are we able to get to that yet, do you think? Have you ever actually documented or seen the actual paranormal incident and not just getting some of this, the ripples will go out from that rock? Does that make sense? Hello?
Michael?
Hello?
I'm opening up a can of worms here when I say this, and I'm just going to go out on the limb and say this. The K2 meter. I know people out there hate this thing. And there's people that say that this thing is a $20 piece of
paper. I like it.
But I'll tell you what, that is the one device that I have been able to use repeatedly on an investigation. And we just had it less than 2 weeks ago where we were on an investigation. We asked a question, are you here? Bang, lights up. Can you do that again? Bang, lights up. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I get slammed for the K2 all the time. You know, Grant loves it, Steve hates it, so there's that little rift, and then, you know, all the paranormal armchair quarterbacks who wanted to slam us for using it. You know, the K2, yeah, it's an inexpensive, unshielded piece of equipment. We know that, you know, and like any other piece of equipment we use, if you don't learn it and experiment with it and figure out what sets it off and naturally and man-made stuff, if you don't learn your equipment, everything will give you false hits. But once you learn the K2 and figure out its weaknesses and its strengths, and then you use it in a proper fashion, it's a great piece of equipment.
Mm. Absolutely. And you know, unfortunately, on the investigation we were on, you know, this happened, four or five times in a row. And at the same time, the client was there at the same time. When the client had popped in, all of a sudden everything stopped. Well, at that same time, I had asked one of our other investigators, hey, did you don't by chance have your cell phone on? And lo and behold, they had their cell phone on. Now, again, would their cell phone trigger the response that we are getting every single time?
No,
probably not.
But here's the follow-up question to that. Do they have AT&T T-Mobile, or are they a Sprint Verizon? Sprint and Verizon will only affect the K2 about 3 to 4 feet away. AT&T, man, you can affect it from across the room.
Right, right.
Really?
There's so much that goes in. And you know how I know that? Because I set the K2 up and I started experimenting with radios and phones and computers and this is and figured out what sets it off and how far away you have to be, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. Hey, guys. It's time, as much as I am enjoying listening to the Techie Geek chat, which I am, it's time for the lightning round. You guys want to do it? The lightning round, that is.
Let's go.
Okay, we need Cheryl and Chad. Can you guys? Are you guys on mic?
Yeah.
Chad, are you
Chad
there?
Chad is going to transition from the chat room to his microphone in just a second.
Alrighty. So, Britt, the lightning round, basically one or two sentence answers. It's kind of our little, it's our little mini roundtable discussion, and we go through a couple of topics pretty quickly. So I'll call out when we're ready for you to answer. So here's our first question. Here we go. A Chinese airport last month closed because they spotted a mysterious light that was circling the airport, and they were concerned that the planes were going to collide with a UFO. So it circled a few times, and then the lights disappeared. So here's what I want to know. Do you think that the airport officials overreacted? Let's start with Michael.
Well, considering the fact that China has pretty much the highest amount of air pollution of any place in the country, I mean, this could have been a small child holding a flashlight floating in the air that day. So I'm actually surprised that they even released this, that they let it go out.
Okay. Britt, what do you think?
I'm surprised that China cares about its people. It's all about making money right now for them.
Yeah. Chad?
Well, I mean, you can't take chances with stuff like that. It could have been anything. I mean, it could have been another plane for all I know.
Yeah, okay. Rick?
I think they did the right thing because, if it was a UFO, you don't want to cause, you know, an inadvertent intergalactic situation, so.
An incident?
An incident, yes.
An incident that you can't take back? Is that
intergalactic
what you're
incident, yes. That is
oh,
what
my
saying.
God, I love that. That sounds like the name of an awesome movie, The Intergalactic Incident, starring Denzel Washington.
It sounds like an awesome punk band.
Kinda, yeah. Cheryl, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. They did not overreact. Definitely not.
Okay. So MSNBC reported this week that SETI experts have come up with a new plan, or a revised plan, I guess, for dealing with radio transmissions from space. If we were to get radio transmissions from space, who do you think should handle the contact? Do you think it's a UN issue, a government issue, scientists, or do you think it should be somebody else? What do you think, Michael?
Steve Jobs. I see it going on iTunes immediately and being available for
$1.99. I would download that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think, Britt?
Well, I'm a very anti-big government person, so the UN should be sunk, and it should be. It's up to the individual countries to decide what they want to do with it. If a college wants to do it, let them do it. If a private citizen wants to do it, let them do it. Who cares?
Okay, sounds good. Chad, what do you think?
I think it ought to be scientists, but I think they ought to have like a public watch group just to make sure they're not trying to hide anything.
Okay, Rick?
Ethel Goldstein, the old lady down the street from me.
Oh, is she one of those? Is she one of those no-nonsense ladies?
No.
Or is she one of those, hey, you kids get off my lawn ladies?
No, I'm just joking. No, I think what we should do is you know, I kind of really don't like the UN, so I'm with Britt, too. I think it's sort of a useless thing. But I think that it's something that we should all sort of get together and just say, all right, this is how we're going to react. So,
yeah, I don't know that we would get together and do that because, you know, we can't even agree on something simple. Like,
true.
You know, but I hear what you're saying. Cheryl, what do you think?
Well, how about MUFON? Can't they get into the action here?
They probably could, or Stanton Friedman. We should just have Stanton Friedman. Let's be
like
realistic, because Stanton's like a walking soundbite, and he would be awesome.
Why don't they get that billionaire who was part of that funded the investigation at the Skinwalker Ranch?
I think that guy died.
Did he die?
I think so. I think he died a couple years ago.
That would be why, Chad. Okay, so the UK recently recognized Druidry as an official religion, and it was granted charity status. What do you guys think about religions being recognized by governments in the US and abroad and being given special tech status? Michael, what do you think?
Being from Chicago, and you know, we kind of have our own way of paying taxes, I don't have much to comment on this one.
Vote early and vote often.
There you go. Britt, what do you think?
I'm always leery when government and religions interact like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it should blend.
Yeah. Chad, what do you think?
I never understood why religious groups aren't taxed. I mean, I guess maybe because they don't make any profits, supposedly.
They make money.
I know.
Some churches make more money than, you know,
Small private organizations. Several, yeah.
Yeah. So, Rick, how about you?
I'm going to go along with Chad on that. I think that if you do bring in something, then you should, you know, pay your taxes.
I think so too. Cheryl, how about you?
I think it sucks.
Okay. Thanks, Cheryl.
All right. Hey.
All righty. So, Tech News Daily reports, this statistic actually really surprised me. Tech News Daily reports that 70% of infants born in the United States who are under the age of 6 months already have an online presence, including 7% of those infants who have an email address. So, Rick, keep this in mind because you're about to have one of these. So, by the age of 2, 80% of kids have a digital footprint. So, here's what I want to know. If newborn babies immediately develop an online presence, why don't my parents have one? Michael?
I can't answer why your parents don't have one, but I'm kind of embarrassed to say that our 4-year-old twins actually had a Facebook page prior to their birth. So
there you go. Britt, why don't my parents have an online presence?
Because they don't want you to know what the hell they're doing.
Oh, no, my dad texts me several times a day and says, guess where I am now?
Oh, well, then it must be your mom who doesn't want you to come back home.
Oh, well, I totally don't want to go back home either, so it's great. Chad?
Well, you know what's next is the chips in the hand or in the forehead, so...
Oh, you know, didn't they find out that those chips, like the RF chips, were potentially causing cancer?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think so. So, Rick, is your baby going to have an online presence, or does it already?
Well, my dog has an online presence. She has, her own MySpace page. But, no, I really don't think so.
Okay. I blog about my dogs and my kids. And my son is 14. He has an online presence, but my dogs don't particularly. So, Cheryl?
I love my
okay.
puppy, yes I do.
I'm sitting over here laughing hysterically because I was just about to say that I reject this Tech News Daily report, and then I hear Michael having a Facebook for his twins who aren't born yet, and Rick has a MySpace for his dog, so apparently I'm out of it.
So apparently I reject your rejection.
But as to why your parents still don't have one, my parents still don't use a computer as far as I'm aware at all, so...
My parents shouldn't use a computer.
Oh, my dad just got an iPad. And he's like a gadgety guy. He and Michael would get along great in Brit. They would all really get along well. But my parents, actually, my sister emailed them this some pictures that were on Facebook. She emailed the link. And so they had to join Facebook to see the pictures. And they panicked because people were, like, contacting them to be friends and stuff. So they deleted their account because how did those people know they were there? True story. Yeah. Okay, so I blogged today about drama in the paranormal. And it's something that comes up really frequently in the paranormal community. So what I want to know is, why do you think people are so drawn to drama? Do you think it's like Schadenfreude, or do you think that it's just, is the paranormal community populated with drama queens, Michael?
Oh, boy. This is, all right, I'm going to get on my soapbox here.
Woohoo!
I think the bottom line is this. Let's call it ghost hunting, and it takes absolutely, anybody in the world can be a ghost hunter, and they don't even have to have any equipment. It takes zero talent, and these are the same people that are out there that are creating web pages, that are calling them so-called experts, and I don't think any of us call ourselves experts, and you know, I mean, look at all these groups that are out there that are offering paranormal certification that are out there. And if you're one of them right now, I'm sorry if I'm insulting you, but I don't know how in the hell you could certify somebody to be a ghost hunter. I that's nuts. And I think that's where all the drama comes from. I mean, these are the same people who've got nothing better to do but bitch about their neighbors.
Sounds good to me. Okay, what do you think, Britt?
Well, I've been a part of 2 car clubs and 3 paranormal groups, and I've worked several jobs. There's drama everywhere. It's human nature. It's human nature to want somebody out. One thing that I've learned from being in so many groups is that there's always someone in the crosshairs within the group. There's always someone that people are bitching about. As soon as you take that person out, remove them from the group, fire them, whatever, the crosshairs slowly slide to somebody else, and now it's just human nature. Within our field particularly, it's people who want their own attention. They figured out that if I attack this guy because he's so far up the notoriety chain, that people will look at me. And it's just the look at me syndrome.
Okay, I agree. Chad, what do you think?
I agree totally with what Britt said. I mean, it's all about attention.
Okay, Cheryl. Oh, Rick, I skipped you. Rick!
Oh, no, I was just going to say I agree with, you know, both Britt and Mike. I mean, if I should ever call myself an expert, may Hans Holzer, you know, make me drop dead right where I stand. But yeah, there's a food chain, and people are always going to go towards the next guy because they want to knock them down to make themselves look good.
Yeah. And Cheryl.
Well, I think it's already been said, and Britt hit the nail on the head. It's drama is just inherent to life. And, you know, we just hear about it because people are Facebooking more and MySpacing more and tweeting more or whatever you call that. So it's just the nature of it.
Okay. So one last question, and I'm not afraid to pronounce the word Schadenfreude. However, I am afraid to pronounce this next one. So Troy Polamalu, is that how you say it?
Polamalu
from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just had his hair insured by Lloyd's of London for $1 million. If you could insure something on your body, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, everyone. What would it be, Michael?
Although my wife would probably say one part of my body would be a pretty cheap policy.
Ouch!
Truth hurts. You know, it's the pool boy thing.
Yeah.
But I would say probably the mouth, even though I sound too much like a Chicago guy, I guess.
Britt, what are you going to be insuring with Lloyd's of London?
Oh, Jesus. Well, definitely not my Johnson. I'm just an average white guy. But probably my tongue. My mouth.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you got a small Johnson, you got to be good with the tongue.
Oh, I'm thinking that this was maybe not my wisest
question. Am I going to get in trouble with that one?
No, absolutely not. Again, no, you're good. You're fine. So, Chad?
If you ask Cheryl, it'd probably be my skin.
Your skin?
She says I look so young.
Oh. She's
going to make a lampshade out of it?
Yeah. She's going to make a bodysuit.
Lotion on his skin.
Seriously, Karen, we make that joke like all the time because Chad has a naturally like youthful skin. I'm so jealous of it.
Sunflower suit.
So is that what you would insure, or is that what Cheryl would have you insure, or are they one and the same?
One and the same.
All right, Rick.
My ears, because I love listening to things. You know.
Okay. That is so not what I expected you to say.
Well, you know, I'm not going to get myself in any more trouble than I already am, so...
You're not going with the obvious. You're not going with the baby maker.
Okay, my penis, then. There you go.
There you go. You know, any guy who doesn't answer my penis, I think, is totally lying. I really do. So, thank you for being here.
Or he doesn't have one.
That's right. Cheryl?
I'm going to insure my mind because I think I'm losing it about now. Do you think they'll insure me?
If something goes wrong, you'll have $1 million to make up for it.
Yay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that Cheryl probably has her finger constantly hovering over the dump button at all times. Maybe that's what you should insure.
The dump button.
My finger?
Yeah, your finger, because it's always hovering over the dump button.
No. Oh, you sure that? Never mind.
That was wacky.
I'm just not going to say another thing about that. Okay, so, Cheryl, what's coming up on our next show?
Well, we have a cool show next week, and it is going to be with Aaron Goodwin of Ghost Adventures, and we actually pre-taped an interview with him. Was it last week, I believe? So we're going to be playing that one.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. He was great.
Yeah. Cougar Bait Aaron Goodwin.
Aaron Goodwin, that's right.
He was really interesting to talk to, and I think that the listeners should join us to hear what he has to say.
And he put up with me constantly teasing him about how middle-aged women think he's hot.
Karen hit on him constantly, didn't you, Karen?
I hit on him constantly, that's right. Because I am a middle-aged woman. What, Britt?
What's wrong with middle-aged women?
Nothing. Not a thing. I was pointing out to him that because I am a middle-aged woman and I know several middle-aged women, when you mention Ghost Adventures, they always say, "I love that Aaron Goodwin." And so I was just pointing out the obvious to him.
They want to wrap their mom jeans around his neck.
That's right. Oh, my God. And he did say
where's the dump button? Dump.
They hug him longer than other people when he gets hugs from them.
Hey, Karen, don't forget.
Why would it make me angry that Aaron's on? Really, Dirk? Come on.
Oh, somebody said that. Oh. Anyway, what were you going to say, Cheryl? He's talking about the chat room. So, Cheryl, I'm sorry.
I was going to say
NWPIA is going to be on.
That's right, that we're going to have NWPIA on directly after Aaron, and we're excited about that, too.
Everybody will have to listen to that, because NWPIA is my group.
Yay!
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 I know, we love them. Okay, and we have a magazine coming out within the next few days.
We do. The October issue is going to be coming out in a few days, so check out the new magazine on the website, let's say by Sunday, www.paranormalunderground.net. And I also wanted to mention that Britt is doing an interview in a future issue, and we're going to go a little more in-depth on some of the questions, so we're looking forward to that.
Anything so, else?
Yeah, no, that's about it.
Britt, do you have a website?
Britt Griffith, what the hell? Britt Griffith at BrittGriffith.com.
That would be Rick Griffin at...
yeah. Wait, no, that's my email address.
That's your email address.
BrittGriffith.com. Yeah, I'm a crack.
Greg McGruffin.
You know, that's okay.
Got me confused.
I have done this whole show on Percocet because I have a kidney stone, so there you have it. I know.
I've done this whole show on meth.
And Michael, why don't you give out your website one more time?
That would be ghostgadgetguy.com.
Ghostgadgetguy.com. There you have it. Next week, guys, NWPIA and Aaron Goodwin. We hope you'll join us. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network.